Hey, Jackets fans. Welcome to Boom and Gloom. I'm your host, Anthony, but you may know me on social media as Whaler Jacket. I call myself Ohio's longest-suffering hockey fan, and I'm usually here to talk about the boom, which is the good, and the gloom, which is the bad, of Columbus Blue Jackets hockey. But today, my CBJ hockey talk is going to be limited. In fact, I wasn't even going to do an episode this week, but there will be no episode next week due to my family being in town. My brother from New Hampshire is coming to visit, and I, of course, want to spend as much time with him as possible. I don't get to see him very often, so I was not going to subject him to a Blue Jackets podcast. But the following week after that, that's going to be like my season in review episode. And I hope to have some guests on to discuss that, discuss the 2023-2024 season, you know, our thoughts and what we'll expect to happen this summer. But today's episode will not be very CBJ-centric. Yes, so this Blue Jackets podcast, you know, it's obviously about the Blue Jackets, but sometimes other news in the hockey world kind of spills into this world, and it's just something I really wanted to talk about today. So a big part of this episode is I wanted to share my thoughts on the Arizona Coyotes situation. Last week was an interesting week, to say the least. In a span of 3 days, the hockey world got three different pieces of news from three different directions regarding the future of the Coyotes. I'm not sure, you know, which day this started, and in all honesty, I'm just too lazy to go back and find out because it's fairly irrelevant to our story. But on day one, we get this post from the Coyotes, at least I saw it on Twitter, featuring renderings and imagery of a new arena and a new entertainment district. That was based on the Coyotes winning a land auction in June or May or something like that of this year. So I saw that and thought, oh, the Coyotes must know something we don't. They must be pretty darn confident that their land auction is going to be a success. Otherwise, why would they be throwing out all this info? They must be confident, right? I mean, it was a whole bunch of positive news, excitement. The very next day, I think it was the very next day, the mayor of Scottsdale puts out a statement against the Coyotes moving to their proposed location. He was like, "We don't want you here." Now, he maybe didn't say those exact words. I don't remember exactly the words he used, but that was pretty much the gist of this statement. And I don't know my Arizona geography very well, but I guess Scottsdale is adjacent to the spot where the land was being auctioned off. So there were people on Twitter that I saw saying, in response to the mayor's statement, they would say, too bad he's in Scottsdale and the arena is going to be built in Phoenix. He has no say in this. He's in Scottsdale, not Phoenix. So that was a mixed bag right there. At first, I was like, uh-oh, you know, a prominent person, a mayor, is against this. But then after reading the comments, I was like, oh, you know, this dude may not have a say in the matter of all. At all. He's just spouting out now. He's just, you know, running his mouth on this. So that was day two. The bombshell was day three. Reports started coming out that the NHL was creating two separate plans for next year. One for if the land auction was a success, the other if it failed. If it failed, the contingency plan, apparently, was to move the team to Salt Lake City, Utah. That's what the initial reports I read were indicating. But then, some other reputable sources started saying things that were opposite of that were different than what was being reported. The way they said it, the way they reported it, was that it was darn near set in stone that the team is moving to Salt Lake City next year. So the day went on, and more of these reports surfaced. There were Coyote accounts, like Coyote-related accounts on Twitter that were practically saying goodbye. People in the know seemed to really be in the know about this. It seemed like a foregone conclusion that this was happening. So as I record this, this is Sunday night, April 14th. And there's still been no official word. The Coyotes Twitter admin has been very steady with tweets about how the team is doing whatever it can to stay in the desert and, you know, trying to stay upbeat and you know, we're putting distractions to the side as this team tries to win our remaining games. You know, so nothing official. Unofficially, it's a different story. The supposed plan is that the team is being moved to Salt Lake City, Utah next season. Reports indicate that the players have already been informed about this. So the team will play in whatever arena the NBA's Utah Jazz play in right now. So I think I read that arena would be their temporary home until a new arena is made. So apparently the new owners have a plan in place and have been wooing and courting Gary Bettman for ages now. And speaking of new owners, I guess the plan is for the NHL to buy the team from its current owners, then sell the team for a profit to the new owners in Salt Lake City. Then, if and when a new arena is built in Arizona, the current owner would have first dibs to become an owner again of an expansion franchise. I hate to say this, but I have to. I told you so. Okay, I have been saying this for years. Move the Coyotes. Promise them an expansion team once they get their crap together with a new arena. But the NHL was so adamant about making this work that the team was basically homeless for a while. And then they play in an arena with a capacity smaller than some minor league teams, smaller than some college teams. Mullet Arena was just a temporary fix, right? Until a permanent home was found. The owners, I guess, thought they had that in Tempe, Arizona, until voters turned that down. So they had to scramble again. And I guess at this point, Gary Bettman finally decided enough is enough. We need to pull the plug on this. This just isn't working, and we don't want to wait any longer. And I'm just to this day baffled that this is dragged on for so long. But I guess the Phoenix area is top five or close to it in terms of most heavily populated cities in the United States. So I get the NHL's desire to stay there. But at what cost? Okay, I kind of felt like moving the Coyotes to a tiny temporary facility when construction hadn't even started on a new arena was insulting in some ways to the players involved. Okay, they didn't even have the land acquired yet. All right, this is the big time. This is the NHL. And we are going to stick you in this 5,000-seat arena that you have to share with a college hockey team. It's not even your own arena. You're just going to share it with a college team. Now, another part of me says, you know, you were there to play hockey, so play hockey. Don't worry about the number of people watching you. But I can't imagine the facilities there were NHL caliber. College caliber, yes, but not NHL level. So I can't imagine players were super happy about this. And I'm sure there was, you know, they're pros and they're there to do their jobs. But I bet that most of them were not 100% satisfied with their facilities. I mean, it's just, they're not NHL facilities. You are in the NHL. To me, when the Gila River Arena, when that debacle happened, that should have been the end of the Coyotes, at least temporarily. All right. Like I said, my idea was pretty much what is happening now, like the plan that they're doing now. You know, they move them, but, you know, keep their records behind. And this is very similar to what the Cleveland Browns did when that team moved to Baltimore. Sorry, Cleveland Browns fans. I know that's a sore topic to bring up. But that's what they did. And I'm assuming, at least from what I've read, that's what the Coyotes are doing here. All the franchise records, they're all staying behind. So, in essence, this Salt Lake City team is going to be a new team. Now, don't quote me on that. I have not looked that far into it. I'm a Blue Jackets fan. I mostly read Blue Jackets news. So, if I'm wrong on that, I apologize. So, the team moves to Salt Lake City. And then, when you get an arena ready to go, you'll get an expansion team. But as some people pointed out, would a new team in Arizona really want the current owners back? I mean, they've proven that running a successful hockey team may not be their forte. You know, competent ownership, at least in my opinion, that may have helped to avoid the issues with the Gila River Arena thing. Of course, that was a debacle too because of where it was situated. I mean, you know, fans would complain that it was a drive for them, like a far drive, a long drive, with Phoenix traffic that it actually dissuaded them from attending games. I think dissuaded is a word. Opposite of persuaded, right? Persuaded to do something bad. I can't remember. Yeah. So it dissuaded them from attending games with all the traffic. And it seemed to show in their attendance, from what I remember. So that was kind of a mess. Not paying their lease was a mess. Doing a year-to-year lease was not exactly wise, in my opinion. You know, the Jackets, for example, their lease runs through, I think, 2039 or something like that. So then the Coyotes getting, like, literally thrown out of their building. That was a mess. Scrambling to play in a college arena, that was even a mess. And it wasn't even finished being built yet. So that was a huge mess. The whole situation has been a mess. And I feel badly for a lot of the people involved. Now, it is a well-known fact on this podcast that I was a fan of the Hartford Whalers. Diehard fan. Grew up in Connecticut. Born and raised. I bled green. And back in 1997, they were unceremoniously taken away from me and my fellow fans. Moved to North Carolina and rebranded. New team, new name, new city, new colors. They left everything. The second they left, they simply did not feel like my favorite team anymore. It was tough for a diehard, wear my heart on my sleeve type of fan like myself. I still have articles from the New Haven Register newspaper framed and hanging in my basement from the day after their final ever NHL game. You know, there's a picture of Kevin Dineen standing with a microphone He's addressing the fans. He's got a tear in his eye. It was horribly sad. And it hurt, okay? When you put your heart and soul into a team, things hurt, okay? Losses hurt. Players leaving hurt. And certainly, moving your favorite team hurts. Now, there are plenty of people out there, many of them non-sports fans, who think, it's just a game, so what? Why are you all bent out of shape? Well, I speak from the heart when I tell you that hockey is a passion for me. It is a passion for many people in this world. Sports are a passion for many people in this world. And when something bad happens to something you are passionate about, sports or otherwise, it's going to hurt. If you're a fan like me, you love your team, okay? You grow to love your team. They're like part of you. You know, the players on your team, they're your players. They're playing for you. They're trying to win for you. And yeah, I know they're actually trying to, you know, also win for the glory of winning and the paychecks and all that. And, you know, they play for others, but it also feels like they play for the fans. So when your team is ripped away from you, like the Whalers were for me, and like the Coyotes are apparently about to be in Arizona, it hurts. And I feel for the players and their families. You know, some have their kids that they're going to have to uproot and move them. Some have no movement clauses in their contracts. These are clauses that they earned, but they're still going to have to move for this, even with a no movement clause. Now, again, I do feel for the players, but there are two other groups of people that I feel worse for. So when a player enters the NHL and joins a team, surely they must know from the start that the chances of them actually finishing their career in the city in which they start are slim to none. You know, they have to know this. Trades, free agents, players move. It's very rare to see a player spend their entire career with the same team. So leaving Arizona for another city is surely something most players figured would happen at some point in their careers, but not like this. Okay, this was probably just a huge surprise to most of them. But the other two groups who I feel worse for, one, employees of the arena. So concession workers, ushers, parking attendants, team store staff, the list goes on. And these people, these are, you know, I felt this way for the Gila River Arena people as well. So they find themselves suddenly out of a job. And they don't have the million-dollar guaranteed contracts of the players. Players will move and continue to get paid. But these people will need to find new jobs. The other group I feel terrible for is the fans. Because again, I've been there. I know what it feels like. I know the hurt. I know the pain. But out of all the fans, the ones I feel most sorry for are the kids. You know, the players are heroes to them, all right? The team means so much to those young, impressionable hockey fans. And they're about to lose their team. From what I read, youth hockey in Arizona is thriving because of the Coyotes. In fact, the Coyotes are highly involved in a lot of the youth programs out there. So what happens to them? Hopefully, someone, maybe a company or, you know, corporation, a sponsor, someone else takes them on, steps in and takes them on. Maybe even have the Utah, whatever they're going to be called. Maybe that owner, the new owner, maybe makes a nice donation to the Phoenix area youth hockey organizations. That would be a nice gesture, wouldn't it? I mean, seriously, would Austin Matthews even be in the NHL, even be playing hockey maybe, if he didn't get his start in Arizona youth hockey, if there was not a professional hockey team in Arizona? I'm not sure. Probably not. Arizona State University, it's been an up-and-coming college program. That doesn't happen without the existence of the Phoenix and now Arizona Coyotes. The only silver lining to all this is that it seems they will be getting a team back. So this is merely a bump in the road, I guess. I don't know what you would want to call it. Some fans who lost their team, like the Hartford Whalers, they don't have that luxury of knowing that their team is going to come back someday. The NHL has made it very clear it wants a team in Arizona. So when they say that you guys are going to get an expansion team, you just have to wait a few years, get your arena stuff in order, then you'll get it. I would tend to believe them in that situation. So a lot of moving parts. I just wish Gary Bettman and the rest of the NHL saw this writing on the wall a lot sooner. This should have happened earlier, and now it's just a mess. And I just feel terrible for the fans. The question is, was this situation handled in the best way possible? And I don't think there's a single person who would answer yes to that question. Now, I won't tell you I know what the exact best way to handle it was. All I can tell you is that this was not it. This could have been handled way better. But again, I'm not sure if the way the current owners of the Coyotes have handled things, if I want them back owning the expansion team. But we'll have to see how that plays out. All right, so that brings us to what you probably came here for, Blue Jackets talk. What is there to talk about? All right, well, we apparently have one game left against Carolina. I just realized that. And then we head out for another playoffless summer. The Jackets lost to Nashville 6-4 last night, and I didn't get to see the game, but I saw that James Malatesta got his first NHL goal. Good for him. I actually see him as a player that the Jackets may have big future plans for. I can see him sticking around for a while. I kind of see him as a solid fourth liner. And speaking of which, someone posted on Twitter that the line that he played on might have been the shortest combined line in NHL history in that game. Because we had James Malatesta, 5'9", Justin Danforth, 5'8", and Trey Fix-Wolanski at 5'7". So their combined heights, that's a pretty short line. And good on Fix, by the way. He had 2 goals against the Preds. So I imagine that felt very vindicating for him. He hasn't been on the score sheet during his recent call-ups. Possibly an assist, I can't remember. So I'm glad he potted a couple in that game. I've said it before, but I don't see him as a vital piece to this organization's future, okay, to the Jackets' future plans. But he is good for call-up once in a while, and he certainly can score in the AHL and help the Cleveland Monsters. Also of note, Justin Danforth had 3 assists. I want to say that's his highest point total in a game this season, so good on him if I'm right on that. I've always loved Danforth. I even considered him my favorite player for a time. I love his drive. I love his effort. He's always working hard, always giving his best. But he's also someone I don't necessarily see the new GM considering to be a vital piece to the puzzle. So I would not be surprised if he were move this summer. You know, in other episodes, I talked about how a lot of the jackets are smaller in size with Brindley and Dumais on the way. So I thought possibly a new GM would be interested in moving some of those smaller forwards out. And one of those that I thought might be a good target to move out is Justin Danforth. So I would not be surprised if he was moved this summer, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he was kept around. This would be the last year of his contract, and maybe even moved at the deadline for another piece next year, depending on where the Jackets stand at the deadline. Last thing I wanted to talk about is Gavin Brindley. He was a sophomore this year at Michigan, and apparently the Blue Jackets have told him that they feel he is ready to take his game to the pro level. My issue with this is, I don't exactly trust that the Jackets know what they're talking about. I would love to see Brindley join the organization, probably in Cleveland next year. But I am also not a pro scout. I don't know what is best for him. And I'm definitely not sure I would trust if the Jackets think he is ready. I don't know if I trust if they know what's best for this kid. Exhibit A, David Juracek. So I guess if it were up to me, I guess I would tell Gavin, I guess I would say play one more year at college. You know, let's see what the new GM does with this team. Then, next year, if you like the direction the team is going, you can come over after your junior season is finished. If not, you can stay one more year at college. Play your senior year. Now, granted, I know what could happen in college, all right? You're always just one injury away from losing out on a professional contract. So I can understand the rush to turn pro. So I wonder what Brindley is thinking in this situation. Does he think, I don't want to go pro next year with an organization that doesn't have a GM yet, and they could possibly be having their fourth head coach in 3 years, an organization that has sucked for 2 years or more? Or does he think, this is my opportunity? If I do this now, I can start making that bank and start honing my skills at the professional level right away. You know, which gives me the best chance to be playing in the NHL sooner rather than later. So I'm not sure what he's thinking, but if the Jackets think he's ready to turn pro, something inside me is saying maybe he really isn't. Doesn't it suck when you just can't trust your favorite team's management to make the right decisions? It sucks. And the Blue Jackets have certainly earned that reputation, at least in my eyes. That'll be it for this week, everyone. I'm going to sign off on episode 18. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can connect with me on Twitter, at WhalerJacket. No episode next weekend, but the weekend after that, which is April 27th or 28th, I plan on doing a season in review episode. I would love to have a few other fans join me to recap the crap. That might be the title of the episode. Join me to recap the crap that was the 23-24 Blue Jackets season. You know, just share some thoughts and opinions. So if you're interested, please reach out to me and let me know. We would probably knock it out on Sunday the 28th if you are available that day. Or if you have any questions or comments, I am open to those as well. I'm going to sign off for now. See everybody next time. Go Jackets!